at the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
This is our new segment in 2024, Stu.
I haven't been on for this part, so if I'm just listening here, Pressing Matters.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Just something on a Tuesday.
Do you hit us, or what happens here?
All right. Firstly, Nathan Cleary. Will he return for the Panthers against the Tigers at Carrington Park in Bathurst this week? Let's have a listen to what Penrith fullback Dylan Edwards had to say yesterday.
Well, I think whenever he's ready, he'll be ready. He's not one to sit out an extra week if he's ready to go. But in saying that, hammies are tricky as well, so you got to try and make sure he's really right and ready to go. And now medical staff are second to none here, and he's obviously well known to be as diligent as anyone in terms of his rehab. So whenever he's right, he'll be right.
That audio courtesy of Fox Sports. I mean, you're taking no chances, are you?
No way.
You're taking it a week longer rather than a week earlier.
Not with a hamstring. No way. Yeah. Not even a shadow of doubt.
Not playing. He'll be there to sign autographs.
Yep.
He'll be there. I blame Mary Fowler
personally. Oh, gee. You had to bring it up, didn't you?
Well, how's the early hamstring?
Very tabloid of you, Stu.
Mary Fowler.
Bringing up his personal life.
He'll be there. Look, he'll be there at Bathurst. He'll be signing plenty of autographs. He'll be supporting. He'll probably do an interview with Fox or Channel 9, see how it's going, but he won't be on the field.
He'll be next to Dad in the box, and that's about it.
Won't be kicking the footy around, unfortunately.
Well, Brad Schneider's done a pretty commendable job for them in his absence, although they are coming off a loss, that game against the Sea Eagles. Well, we had that try to, obviously, Tolu Kola in that game, probably off, well, looks like a knock-on, that's for sure. But the Panthers so far 3-2 heading into this game against the Tigers, who will get Lachie Galvin back from suspension as well, who's been just a revelation, hasn't he?
Early in the season
for the Tigers.
You just can't chance it. There's too much coming on. You know, you know he's going to be State of Origin. It's not like he's not an injury-prone guy, but it's not like he hasn't had his injuries before. So certainly don't want to chance that.
Hey, who's on top of the comp, just out of interest?
It's the weirdest ladder you've ever seen.
Who's coming first?
So the Sharks and the Storm are 4-1 on 10 points. Raiders, Cowboys, Dolphins, Panthers, 8 points. Warriors, Sea Eagles, 7 points.
Because of the draws.
And then you've got the draw. Five teams on 6 points. Knights and Dogs, 4 points. Titans, Bunnies, 2 points. But the Titans are the only team without a win. They got 2 points for the bye.
If I said to you at the start of the year the Rabbitohs would be running 17th, you would have laughed at me, wouldn't you?
Oh, look, there was a theory before the season that it was just rocks or diamonds for South. That this was either going to be a raging... They've got Jack Whiten, you know, they've got all this star power, they're going to run through the competition, as they did in the first, dozen weeks of last season.
Yep.
When I think they were 10-1 after 1 point, and then it all went pear-shaped. Or it was going to go pear-shaped as it did in the back end of last season. And we're seeing option B. It seemed people were either in one camp or the other. It was going to be flying high or this was going to happen.
Well, this is happening at the moment. So they were gallant on the weekend. Had a lot of injuries. HO had only one reserve. But the Mighty Sharkies just had too much power, didn't they? Mighty Sharks.
They're going pretty quiet.
Under the radar, aren't they?
Do
you want to be
just a Fitzy? That's just Craig Fitzgibbon, isn't it? He's just one of those guys. I mean, they asked him as well on the weekend about, you know, Dimitri and all that. He's like, nope, don't want to talk about it.
Not my business.
Yeah, all about the Sharkies. We'll just go and play, thanks.
Tell me, do you want to, as a sport, do you want to fight under the radar? Or do you want to be in the radar? What do you reckon?
Aussie way is under the radar.
Aussie way.
Sure.
If you're an American.
Oh, mate, you're out in front. Yeah, lead me. I'm going to take you to the promised land.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Just look at me. Yep. Follow me. I'm the Messiah.
Yep. I will be the greatest ever.
Yeah.
I will win everything.
It's a real change. It's a real cultural thing between us and the Americans. We don't like... Pup talks about it a lot on the show that... He blames that's why he gets carved up so much. Might be a little bit self-inflicted there, Pup. Let's be brutally honest.
Oh, He takes accountability for that.
He does. No, no. I've known him since he was 15, so I can take the piss out of him. Don't worry.
When he used to drive, targeting him when he played for Wests.
When he used to drive a cappuccino around. Do you know what that is? He had this little car. It was called a cappuccino. Before all of, you know, dating supermodels and shit that he does now. Right? He used to drive a cappuccino around.
Right, okay. Well, what, some little hatchback?
It was like a really little car, but it used to be a cappuccino. Then he moved to a Z4.
Oh, he moved to a latte.
And then he bought a Ferrari.
Then he signed the Slazenger deal or whatever it was, and then XYZ.
I love him. It's all right. Good fun.
Morning, pup.
He'll be listening there from Mumbai.
Okay.
What's next? Is that a pressing matter?
Up next, the winner of the Masters, Scotty Scheffler. And, of course, leading into the Masters, he did say that his missus, if she went into labour, he wouldn't be missing the birth of his child. So that kept everyone who'd backed him on edge, I know that, through the tournament. But it is imminent that his partner will be giving birth. And let's have a listen to what he had to say all about that.
Well, I'm definitely not going to intentionally take my eye off the ball. I will go home, soak in this victory tonight. We'll definitely enjoy the birth of my first child. But with that being said, you know, I still love competing. My priorities will change here very soon. You know, my son or daughter will now be the main priority along with my wife. So golf will now be, you know, probably fourth in line. But I still love competing. I don't plan on taking my eye off the ball anytime soon, that's for sure.
Okay, Scotty Scheffler there yesterday, and Rich from Barrel texts in, I listened to Scotty Scheffler's press conference, an organised, articulate and decent human who just happens to be the world's best golfer. Was a pleasure to hear this during our difficult time, says Rich from Barrel. I mean, a lot of people saying, oh, he's boring, but you know, you got to give him credit. You are who you are, and he's just a dominant golfer who clearly, you know, not a bad bloke as well, and big family man. So what can you say? We can't have everyone as exuberant as we'd like them to be, perhaps.
No, look, he was great. He was just far better than everyone else. He putted better. He hit the ball better. I like do you like those shows they do live from the Masters, live from the Players with Chamblee, I think his name is, and they sit around. It's all about stats. They just sit there and go, closest, you know, approach shots, he's the best ever, and then off the tee, he's the best ever, and strokes gained, putting, and his stats just keep coming up. Top three, number one. So, yeah, he'll keep going. Yeah, kids will change his life. Can he hit as many balls? Can he practice? I'm sure he can afford a nanny there for a little bit, do a little bit of work around the house.
Oh, I even saw something yesterday, because, you know, talking about the live money, etc. Even since the live tour has come in, I think his prize money is somewhere at $38 million.
Yeah.
And that's just his prize money.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's got all his endorsements for having apparel and
it is nice to hear someone speak their mind like that, though. That's what it's nice, you know. Like, it's not all about the one line or everything like that. He's just a fair dinkum bloke, isn't just he? You love it. Yeah.
I think from what I've read about him, he's very religious. He's a very religious guy. I think, you know, on the pressing matters here, one of the questions, how long can he keep dominate? I think that depends a little bit on how long these two organisations stay apart, because there's a lot of good golfers running around on the LIV Tour, Cameron Smith being one, Brooks Koepka, Bryson, Dustin Johnson, we don't hear a lot about him now. All the guys that used to be on the PGA Tour are now separated, only really come together at the Masters, and then are they playing three rounds? Is that enough? Is the fourth round tiring them out? I don't know. All of that sort of stuff. It's not, I don't know how much PGA Tour, I know you watch it a bit in here, but sometimes you watch it and there's some guys on there, you'd love to see the other names that you know playing on the PGA Tour, just because it makes the competition so much better. But that's not what's happening at the moment. You have to live with it.
It's hurting the game.
Yeah, that's what it is. The game loses.
And really, falling.
The game loses and also the supporters lose. You know, you don't get, there's always going to be that, would they be better if they played 4-3? All of that is always going to come into it until they join. That's as simple as it is.
It's the old Super League argument from rugby league in 97. It's World Series cricket. It's happened before.
You can't see it not coming back together.
It has to come back
together
at some point.
Just how, though?
There's just a lot of hatred between both organisations now, and obviously there's big numbers involved.
And deep pockets.
Yeah.
And it can keep going.
It can keep going, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Well, the Los Angeles Lakers finished an NBA season. What was it? LeBron's 21st regular season, and they finished with a 124-108 win over the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans. So they finished 47-35 on the season, and they'll play the Pelicans again for the seventh seed in the Western Conference. And let's have a listen to what the great LeBron had to say as he's reflecting on his career after his 21st regular season.
Not really. Kind of just got to just like kind of live in the moment, you know, and be just extremely, you know, happy and you know, I guess, you know, proud of the fact that I could just be a part of this league for so long and, you know, represent my family at the utmost highest honor and respect every time I step on the floor and every time I walk outside of the arena. So, you know, it's just an honor to be a part of this great league, and that's what it's all about, honestly, for me. I haven't had much time to reflect on it, but I've done some pretty cool things in my career so far.
LeBron there, and this season averaged 25.7 points, 7.3 rebounds, 8.3 assists, and shot at 54% from the field, Brad.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, to be in that, to be like that after 21 seasons, it's unheard of. I mean, there's a lot of talk. He spends like $1 million on his body a year, you know, like chambers and everything that he does and everything that he needs and massages and everything. He is the ultimate professional. And to be able to play at that level, there's players that have played that long before, right? But not at the level here. He is still taking over games. He is the most dominant force when he's on the court. And he will just continue on. Like, there'll be 22 seasons, there'll be 23 seasons. It's just, as long as he wants to go, he's unbelievable. It is unheard of.
So that 7v8 play-in game is tomorrow, our time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tip-off. And Tab has it $1.92 a pick. Can't split them. We put a line in of 1.5 there. Pelicans the minus. Pelicans finish 7th. So they're at home, but I mean,
them yesterday.
Lakers are a bet, aren't they?
Massive loss for them yesterday. That was huge, because they win that game yesterday. The Pelicans, they're in 6, right? And they guaranteed no play in. Get a couple of days off, and then they play 3. Right now, they've got to go play the Lakers again at home after just being dominated by them. You lose that, now you're one game out, and you lose. You're out now. I think they'll get in, but I'll tell you what.
The prize for the winner, the Denver Nuggets, the defending NBA champions in the first round. So it's mouthwatering if it's the Lakers. But and just on that, I do think it is a matter of time, especially the second we see expansion in the NRL. We will see this format, this sort of play-in format, will be done for the last two teams to go into the NRL finals.
They did it in the NRL?
Yep.
They've done it in the NBL.
Yep.
And it's been a brilliant thing.
Of course
thing.
It has. Yep. Yes.
They've done it in the NBL.
Yep. You think they'll bring this in the
NRL? The second there's expansion, we go to 18 teams.
Yep.
7 will play 10. Probably 7 and 10, 8 and 9.
8 and 9.
For the last two.
Two spots.
Two spots
so
in the
an
finals.
Extra round. And the bonus is everyone gets a week off and you just have two
exactly
games.
Exactly right. And you know, more games, more money.
It's a bit like the $1 million or the $1 billion TV game in the EPL to go up
the playoffs, which have been a raging success.
Yeah, so
I don't know a sport where it hasn't been a success. You know, like I'm talking basketball at the moment because that's the big one. But then you talk cricket, EPL. It's just unbelievable.
The Big Bash are trying to have something similar, the playoff game to get into the. They're just calling it all funny names.
Yeah. The playoff. The Eliminator.
The other thing it does.
It's like an episode of Major League.
It just brings those teams into play, because not only have you got 7 to 10 talking about it, there's also the 11, 12, 13 teams that are sitting in that spot. Their season's not done until a lot later in the season. So that brings more people in more people in there, more crowds, more everything. It's amazing.
I bet you Graham Annesley's looking forward to that game when two teams get knocked out, have to front up there.
Let's just hope it's Desi and Ricky playing off on that game. That'd be great.